Have you ever wondered what it would be like if Jesus came to your house? Would you change the time you got up in the morning? If there was a queue for the bathroom, how would you react if you were waiting compared to how you normally acted? Would you watch the same television programs with him sitting there? Luke 11, verse 37. If you've got your Bible, but I'll read this to you, and it'll come up on the screen anyway. When Jesus finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So Jesus went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. When you went into somebody's home in these days, there were big jars in the house usually. And some of them contained 20 or 30 gallons, so they were big, big things. And you had to take the equivalent of 1.5 egg shell fulls of water, very important. And you had to pour them, water, from the tips of your fingers down your hands so it ran off your wrist, both hands. And then you had to take the right hand, the fist, and rub it into the palm of the left hand, and vice versa. And then you had to take the water again and pour it from the wrist downwards to the tips of the fingers, both hands. And only then could you sit down and have your meal. If you didn't do that, you were breaking the rules. You were unclean. Now, when I was a boy, I was always asked to wash my hands and to show my mum my nails and everything. This wasn't that kind of washing. This was religious ritual. And Jesus, he came in and he didn't sit down. He lay down because the tables were really low and they lay on cushions. And he lay down ready for his food and he didn't touch the water. And this Pharisee was just about dying. Doesn't say he said anything, but you could see his eyes. You ever done that to somebody? You know, somebody does something wrong and you say to your pal, you don't actually say to your pal, but you know. And Jesus read this, of course. And then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, what you do is you clean the outside of the cup, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." Here's the guest openly saying, "You're foolish. You guys." He's saying, all you're concerned with is what's on the outside. Now, look at this slide. Look at the first line, folks. Is it me? Some people spend longer doing their hair. I've not got a problem there, but... Some people spend longer doing the hair than they spend praying in a day. Or helping other people. Spend longer in preparing to come to church in terms of their physical appearance than actually what they do in church. And we're keen on the outward appearance, aren't we? We have to fit in. We've got to look good. For some of us, that's really difficult. And so we have to spend longer. And some of us just don't bother. But it may not just be physical appearance. It may be the way we act and what we say to people and how we speak to people. I was brought up in a church where some of the guys, the leaders of the church, were really grumpy men. Can you believe that? A Christian being grumpy? Have you ever met one grumpy Christian? And they'd be grumping at their families on the way to church. And it would be a nightmare. And the minute they get in the door, hello, how lovely to see you, saint, suddenly. True? How many of us are like that? I'm glad some of you aren't, that's amazing. But we are, in different ways, like that. We put on a show, don't we? And we ignore our inner attitudes. We might be sitting down at a meal with somebody and or coming to church with somebody, and they come in and they're not wearing the right clothes as far as we're concerned. And we're thinking about that, but when we talk to them, we don't tell them, do we? How do I look in this? That's a fatal question for a wife to ask a man. There's no way of answering that right, is there? But when we're speaking to people, we tell lies, don't we? Not all of us, but some of us do. All the time we're thinking something else while we're saying something to them. And the Lord sees right through the Pharisees' hearts, or is it me? Is it me? And we go through the minute details of our religious practices. Now, you have a very informal church here, but actually, you will have patterns. There will be people that will sit in the same seat every Sunday. And boy, you better not sit there. The order of service will follow a certain way, and people will do certain things, and it will fit in. And every church is the same. We all have we may do it differently, but we all have our routines. And if somebody steps out, oh my. And we forget the important things, or at least we're in danger of that. And we don't acknowledge sometimes our wrong attitudes. And our wrong attitudes are sometimes so deep that we're not willing to admit them. Or they're so ingrained that actually we don't think they're wrong. And Jesus was scathing. And this is a danger for people of faith, that we do well in church, as it were, in front of others, but actually we ignore our own selfish, self-centered hearts. And God is looking for genuine people who are real from the inside out. I went down to the shop this morning. Is that okay? Sorry. I went down to the shop to get the Times. I didn't buy it because I had a prepaid coupon, so I didn't have to do a transaction. And I was walking back up. I need to take my jacket off. This is getting too hot. And I came past the local Episcopal church, and one of the congregation came out, and I haven't met him before, but he said good morning. I said good morning to him, and he said, is that you just going home to read the paper then? And I said, Pharisee-like, no. Trying to hide the Times, which is pretty bulky on a Sunday. I said, no. This is for my wife. She's ill in bed, and I'm going to preach at a church in Kirkliston. He says, oh. His jaw dropped at this point. And so we got into a conversation, but during the conversation, he said, you know, people just don't come to our churches these days, and You know, they go down to Silverburn. Anybody been to Silverburn? Go to Silverburn's a local big shopping centre place in south side of Glasgow. And they go down to Silverburn. He said, they say they've got no time, but you know, when I go down there, I see them, they're just sauntering around and just wasting their time. And I felt the same. Well, how do you know? Yeah. But it's so easy, isn't it, to be judgmental of other people. And I would doubt, well, I would be prepared to, I'm allowed to bet, but I would be prepared to say that almost all of us do that. Maybe even every day it comes up in our minds. I remember when Amy Winehouse died. I remember the thought that went through my mind, and I am so ashamed of that thought. I thought, well, I knew that was going to happen. What does that say about my love for God and the genuineness of my faith and my concern for others? And Jesus sees right through. And God is looking for people who are concerned for others, says the Lord, he said. Give what is inside your lives. Give your lives to the poor. Be concerned for others. Ask the Lord, how do you want me to show my concern, Lord, for others? And each one of you, he will give a different task. For some of you, it may be leading a church or leading the worship. For some of you, it may be helping the little old people who live down the road and the big old people who live down the road. For others, it might be getting involved in Christians Against Poverty and helping the poor. For some of you, it might be going to work with HCGB. For others, it may be just being good to your neighbours, being kind and helpful and caring, and spending time with them and giving them your care and your love and your friendship and showing them Christ's love. For some of you, it might be going to visit those who are sick or ill in hospital and helping those who are bereaved. I don't know for you, but what is it God is calling you to? God did not stay in heaven and throw us down love by messages. He came himself. And God calls us to go in to our sick, tired world and bring him and make a difference to him. Every morning when I was working, I used to go upstairs to the fifth floor in the hospital, and I used the stairs. It was the only exercise I got. And there was this auxiliary nurse came down every came down the steps every day, and she said good morning to her. And I met her some years later after she retired and discovered she was a Christian. No. And she said, Mr. Fife, no other doctor ever spoke to me. And she said, when you said good morning and smiled, I couldn't believe it. Isn't that awful? People are looking for care, for people that will be concerned and stop and love them and help them. And so often we keep this in our churches. Now, I know you don't do that here, but the Lord still speaks to us, doesn't he? Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, your rue, and all the other kinds of garden herbs. I was going to ask the agronomist what rue was. Is he here? Oh, he's upstairs just as well. Probably doesn't know. And all other kinds of garden herbs. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former done. In the law, In the Jewish law, it was the Pharisees, or the people were supposed to give a tenth of the grain, their harvest, their oil, and their wine. But the Pharisees went over the score, and they thought they were being godly, and when they had the wee herb gardens in the back of their houses, they would take all their herbs and they'd divide them and take a tenth of each herb as well. And they were being so good. But they ignored the poor. They ignored those who were suffering from injustice. And the Lord says, hey, you're neglecting the big things here. What are the big things in this society? You think about them. The pressures of poverty. Single-parent families and marriage breakdown. Young people with nothing to do and no guidance. There are countless issues. What are the issues God is asking you to be involved in? And there is a danger that we are particular just about the small things in our churches and in our own walk with God, that we forget the big issues that God has called us. The reason he's called you to be a Christian is so you can live for him and serve him and make a difference in this world. And as God said to the prophet of old, what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to speak out about injustice when you hear about it, to write to the papers about it, to speak to your MPs about it, to speak out on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. To love mercy, to love mercy. And to walk humbly before your God. That's what God asks. And Jesus then said the third thing to this Pharisee. I don't know how he was feeling this now, but I guess he wished he'd never rolled his eyes. And the Lord says, woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Do we love to be noticed? Do we love the prominent places? It's a particular danger for people like me who are public people, who lead churches and are involved in teaching and preaching. Is it? Do I do that because I want people to say, hey, Fife is a great preacher, or that was a great sermon, Fife? And I struggle with that. Every person in public life struggles with that. And when I'm sitting there, I'm saying, Lord, please, I can only do this in your strength, and help me to be humble. And then I'm proud that I'm praying that prayer. And yet, you know, we don't sometimes, our motives sometimes are hard to work out. And at the end of the day, we have to say, Lord, you know, before you I stand. But when you guys play the piano and the violin so beautifully and you sing so lovely, and I can't say that for Colin, but he's but when you do that, why are we doing it? Is there always a danger? Isn't there? There's always a danger we do it for our own glory and not for God's. Now, it's important we do it well. We do it to honour him. And in honouring him, sometimes people come to us after and say, thank you, that was really great. And that is not wrong. And as long as you don't say, yeah, I know it was great. But it's wrong to say, no, I wasn't. If somebody gives you a compliment, you say, thank you, the Lord really helped me today. Or you acknowledge in your heart that, thank you, Lord, you gave me that gift. Don't ever throw somebody's compliment back in their face, because they're saying it because they want to encourage you. That's, do we want to be liked? Do we want to be noticed? And all of us, to a degree, want that. Of course we do. And there's the story of the violinist who was trained by a very prominent master, who was playing in a concert one night, and he got a standing ovation, and he got called back on to do an encore. And he went back into his dressing room, and he was only interested in one thing, not the audience, but the master who was sitting in the middle of the audience. Was he pleasing him? Am I pleasing the master? Even if at the end of the day nobody likes my sermon. And sometimes that's happened to me, actually. I've been written to by occasional elders and churches said, we don't want you back. I'm not particularly proud of that. And I don't seek to do that. Unless I don't really like the church. So I take that back. Oh, this is recorded. But, you know, I have been. And when you are faithful to God, sometimes actually you do the opposite. You don't please people. You upset people. So, why are we here? Woe to you, says Jesus, because you are like unmarked graves which people walk over without knowing it. In Jewish tradition, when it came to the festival times when everybody descended in Jerusalem, thousands of people would come from the countries and internationally for the big festivals. What they would do is, in surrounding Jerusalem where the graveyards were, they painted the gravestones white. Because in Jewish law, if you walked near or over a grave, you were made unclean. You were made sinful, if you like, and you couldn't go to the synagogue. You couldn't go to the temple. You had to then go through a whole process that took a week to 10 days to be made clean again. So they whitened all the tombs so people wouldn't, by mistake, walk over them because they were unmarked. And so they would be able to worship God. And Jesus says, hey, you guys are like unmarked graves. People are coming near you for help, but actually, unbeknown to them, you're doing the opposite. You are rendering them unclean because you're so far from God, you're leading people astray. You're so concerned with your own wee pride, arrogance, traditions, that you are letting God down and you're not really interested in God. And people are following you. What a terrible condemnation of a leader. And the leaders of this church need your prayers. They need your help that they don't become that kind of leader. That we lead people astray. I've got 3 minutes. One of the experts in the law who was sitting there answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you." I bet he was glad he didn't. He spoke as well. "Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." The experts of the law were the guys who analyzed the law and told people exactly what the law meant. And Jesus says, "You burden people with impossible rules. And then you find the loopholes so you don't need to obey these rules yourself." Let me read this to you. The limit of a Sabbath day's journey was 1,000 yards from a man's residence. But if he tied a rope across the end of his street, the end of the street became his residence and he could go another 1,000 yards. That's why I carry a rope in my car. If on the Friday evening, just the beginning of Sabbath, He left at any given point enough and took with him enough food for two meals. That point technically became his residence because he had two meals. And so he could go another 1,000 yards. So this guy goes with a rope and two meals. He's able to go 3,000 yards. Crazy. One of the forbidden works on the Sabbath, this is for you ladies, was the tying of knots. Any kind of knots, sailors, camel drivers' knots, and knots and ropes. But a woman might tie the knot in her girdle. Therefore, if a bucket of water had to be raised from a well, a rope could not be knotted to it, but a woman's girdle could. And it could be raised with that. Can you imagine that? No, don't imagine it. But that's the corruption. And so often we make rules for people that God has never made. I know of men who spoke against. I mean, I was brought up, you weren't allowed to go to the pictures as we, do you know what the pictures is? It's cinema. Pictures. We weren't allowed to go. That was Satan's place. But boy, they would watch their TVs at home. And you would catch them out watching the wrong things on the TV. We find loopholes, don't we? All of us do it. We have higher standards for other people sometimes than we do for ourselves. Good message this, isn't it? You'll be glad I came this morning. 2 minutes. He talks about building tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. He says, the prophets that God sent in the past, your ancestors killed them. Now you build big stones for them, big tombs to celebrate this. It's as if you're endorsing what your ancestors did. You forget that what they did was they killed the men and women of God that God sent to teach you. It's a bit like the people a century after Wilberforce and the slave trade was abolished, lauding Wilberforce, but the same type of man and woman was fighting tooth and nail to stop that law getting through. And we're a bit like that, aren't we? And he says, hey, be careful. Woe to you experts in the law because, I'm sorry, I'm flashing ahead here. You have taken away the key of knowledge. There are people looking for God, and you have burdened them down. You have said that only you can interpret the Bible, the scriptures. And you've not allowed them to look at them, the scriptures themselves. That's what happened in the Middle Ages, right up to the Reformation. People were not allowed Bibles in their own homes. It was only the priests that could teach them, and they taught them the way they wanted to teach them. And then the people started reading the scriptures themselves, and they found God. We need to be careful. We have a huge responsibility, those of us who teach. And then when Jesus went outside, not surprisingly, Pharisees, they began to oppose him with the teachers of the law. They wanted to catch him out. And Jesus' most severe criticisms were for religious people. You look at the Gospels, read them through. He rarely criticized those who were struggling in life, but he had strong words to say for the religious. Be careful you don't become religious in that sense. And lessons to learn are, God is not looking for religious people. He's looking for real people. People who trust him. People whose faith in Christ lead them to live for Christ in their lives. Who recognize, yes, I keep making mistakes, Lord. I let you down, but work in my life through your Spirit and change me. And we are willing to love others and care for them in a costly way. Not only love those who agree with you, but love those who don't agree with you. We should be in the forefront of concern for justice, for helping the poor, for the helpless. And we should be living every day for God. So that if Jesus came to our home, actually, we wouldn't need to change what we did. That's a challenge, isn't it? I'd have to tidy my wee den for a start. But you know, he might not be interested in me tidying my den. It's my heart he's after. We pray. Lord Jesus, before your piercing eyes, we feel naked. And we recognize how so often what we show on the outside is not the real me. Thank you that you don't just look at us with piercing eyes, but you died for us. You save us when we trust you. And you put your spirit within us to change us. And we say, please continue that process, Lord. We're still learning. Help us to just bring joy to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.